Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
There we go. I'm clapping on the offbeat. Clapping on the offbeat. Somebody told me about the offbeat once. I thought, well, that's an excuse forevermore for never clapping on the onbeat. I'm clapping on the offbeat.
Is it like a descant? I don't know what a descant is.
You don't know what that is, but I know a descant recorder is a very big recorder.
Is it?
Oh, yes, it certainly is, Judith. Yes, the descant recorder is a large recorder.
Oh, I never got one of those out of the box.
Oh, well,
did you?
No, I don't think they'd have trusted you with the on.
Did you get one out of the box? Did you? Were you on the descant lot?
What the fuck? I was, you know, had, like everybody else in my school, I had one of those wooden recorders with a mouthpiece that had been chewed by umpteen other children and smelt like damp Alsatians. So that's what I had. And I've, you know, I think that probably put me off music forever.
Right.
I'd say it's autumn, Judith. I'd say it's a season of
very much so.
And
very
mellow fruitfulness, close bosom friend.
Keats, that was Keats, wasn't
it?
Was it Keats? I believe it was Keats. We might get emails if I've got that wrong, but I think it was
Keats. I think we're right on that one, but nobody can get beyond season of mists and mellow fruitfulness. Close bosom friend. We wanted to do that because it had the word bosom in it.
So have you got the gilets out?
The gilets are on standby, Judith. I don't feel it is yet gilet weather. Remember, we are. London's always a bit hotter because I've been north recently, and I have to say, in Lancaster, they are in full autumn mode.
Tights. Opaque tights.
I think there are some opaque tights going on, but I'm talking more about the scenery.
Oh, okay. Leaves have fallen, have they?
Leaves.
Have they got crisp leaves?
There was one. We were driving through a bit of town to drop me off at the station because I'm very sorry. Sometimes I just have to get a train home because otherwise it's, you know, it just goes on and on and on.
I'm sure. I don't know how you're doing it. I really don't. But yeah, go on.
I'm struggling at the moment. I'll get this over and done with. If I sound a bit slurry, I've got a crop of very nasty mouth ulcers at the moment. I've just been to the dentist. And she's given me some steroid pills. She's given me a prescription, some steroid pills that I dissolve in water and gargle with. But, you know, it's going to take a little while for those to kick in, I think. But I am struggling a little bit. So apologies to everybody. It's like clicking a little bit like that. But
like Melvin Bragg.
Oh, God. I know. I've just sort of been struggling with his, what, that radio.
I caught a bit of it this morning.
So technical. It was all about plankton.
It was so important.
But it was so complicated.
Needs axing, that does, doesn't it? Oh, it needs a fucking great axe taken to it. I'm sorry.
Oh, we've started on the attack, haven't we?
Oh, do you know, James once bought Sienna for Valentine's. Get this. He bought her a session axe throwing.
Brilliant.
I don't think she's ever forgiven him. I don't know what he was thinking of.
I think it's brilliant. Was it a wedding anniversary?
I think it was a Valentine's gift before they got married. I'm surprised that she married him. I think he's kind of explained it as a joke, but
I think that's absolutely genius. I saw one of those. We were driving through town, and I think it was in the East End, and I just thought. And it was a tiny little doorway and it had a sign above it saying, axe throwing.
I mean, people
are doing it for hen nights and stuff.
Oh, bloody hell. I mean, to be honest, I can see that you and I might get something out of it. Do you know what I mean?
I think you'd be really good, Judith, because you have a strong swimming arm and I think your overarm Mind you, you swim like a baby girl. You do swim breaststroke. But
don't ruin
arms,
it.
Yeah, your arms are stronger than mine. I reckon that you would have a good axe throwing arm.
I don't think they're... Yes, my aiming
I wouldn't go in the same room as you. I'd watch from the other side of a heavily armoured glass. But I think both of you... what I would make up for in my sort of flabby puniness would be rage. I would be quite good at it because of my untapped rage.
I think you'd tap into it, wouldn't you?
I'd tap into
that rage. Yes, yeah, I know. Yeah. No, I think it's got our names on it, I must say. But anyway, we digress. What were we talking about? The autumn. That's right. We're talking about the autumn in Lancaster, you said.
Yes. A flurry of leaves, Judith. A flurry of leaves. Yeah. Ooh. You know, when you're driving through and suddenly it's like raining leaves. Yeah.
I do.
What it was like. Yeah.
We've been all over the place. I can't believe it. Every time I see, you know, on my feed, whatever it is on my phone, if it really still fucking works, but we'll come on to that. I'm swearing a lot this morning. I do apologise.
I know. Dial it down now. We started
With the blooming thing.
The blooming thing.
Every time I look at one of your messages, you're on a train, you're on a motorway, you're in a different city, you must be knackered.
I'm not knackered. I think I think that the way my body reacts in terms of knackeredness must be the mouth ulcers. I mean, I'm being referred get to the bottom of it and everything. There's obviously some deficiency, but you know, the trouble with these kind of things is that until I go and see somebody who actually knows what they're talking about, I've got 150,000 people basically giving me bits of advice.
Yeah,
some say zinc, some say
vitamins,
some say it's an allergy to this, that. I mean, I cut out red stuff from my diet many years ago when this first started happening. It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, it's very kind of people, because I think what happens with me is when I'm bit end of tether, I sort of reach for Twitter and I turn to people who are on my feed and I say, you know, this is what I've got, these aphthous. They're a particular type of mouth ulcer as well. And, you know, the world divides into those who understand mouth ulcers and those who have had three in their life and think they're experts and then try and tell me. And they say things like, have you tried Bongella? And at that point, I just think, take me to the nearest axe throwing venue, please. Because I need to throw some axes very, very quickly.
But how's your tour going? I mean, are you having fun?
I'm really, yeah. Because, I mean, you know, the great thing about Doctor Theatre is nothing hurts on stage.
Oh, really? I bet it doesn't. No.
So that's great. You are in another place for 2 hours, that's joyful.
Yeah.
I've had a really, I had a very mad time in Lancaster. Lancaster Grand, which is sort of, it looks scruffy from the outside, but it's really, really pretty from the inside. It's really delicate and like a little Victorian music hall-y thing. But it was poltergeist all over the place on Monday night, and the lighting desk crashed and everything.
Oh,
I mean, all
God.
They could do was hear me, really. I mean, it was just random lights popping up all over the place. You know those quiz shows they have on telly where a light goes around the audience and then settles on? It was stuff like that was going on. Just random lighting effects, as if it was the panto had been
programmed. Oh, I see. So it had got onto its a sort of funny programme.
Yeah. So anyway, it was sorted by the interval. It was all fine. And they were a really gung-ho audience. I had a really good time. I quite like it when things go wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Do you?
Yeah. It's an extra thing to play with.
I suppose so. And also, I suppose what it is, it sort of individualises. I mean, that's not a proper word, is it? But your experience with the audience.
It can be. When it goes right, when you're sort of on top of it,
it
can be a bonding thing. I mean, if it's the beginning of a show, you're not quite sure of the show, it just can become a shambles. But at this stage of the show, I can just sort of enjoy it. I can enjoy it going wrong, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because before I did the live shows, I mean, Christ, I've only done it 4 times, haven't I? Is it 3 or 4? Hark at me as if I know what I'm talking about. I would have envied you being on the road, but most of my reaction would have been, oh God, you know, you're away from home. Yeah, when are you washing your smalls? big, small, etc. You know, what about where you're getting something to eat? But I can see now that actually, yes, that is a pain, but it must be wonderful when the show goes well.
And Oh, yeah. And as for, you know, I don't try and wash my smalls because they're not small enough to dry overnight these days. You know, because it's a... The trousers I wear on stage require a long line knicker. And, you know, as you know now with your long line knickers, there's quite a lot of fabric involved. And they're not overnight dryers. There isn't a, you know, unless you have a hot
rail.
Mine are quite light. Are they?
Well, they are actually. Yes, they
are. Which ones did you get?
The M&S ones.
Oh,
I think maybe they were a sort of summer variety, but that's what I like about them. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. But hold on a minute. I'm a bit confused here because I do see you as the long line knickers expert.
Aficionado, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Exactly. When you say you've got trousers that necessitate, if I put them on under my trousers, I'd feel all kind of hemmed in.
But you wear a jegging, don't you? You wear a lot of jeggings. I have barrel leg trousers, which mean the gusset is dropped very low.
Oh,
you know, and they're
a bit
like a dungaree. So I wear my long lines with my dungarees. It's when the gusset is very, very low on a pair of trousers. But I don't wear jeans or jeggings. So, I mean, like, I'm wearing some linen trousers today, which do not require a long line pantyhose.
Because the gusset's in the right place.
The gusset is up against my gusset, Judith. Yeah, okay. So I've got a normal pair of pants on today. Yeah, right. Everyone needs to know this stuff.
Okay, well, you know.
So there we go. Yes, and on the notes, because we send each other notes, there's a plan to this.
There's a plan, you wouldn't know, but yes.
You wouldn't know, because axe wielding and a lot of swearing didn't come into the notes, but that came in anyway. I didn't have a hot meal in 5 days.
Oh, Jenny. I mean, come on. I wouldn't let that happen. I'm too selfish. I'd make people stop and I couldn't cope. I couldn't cope with that.
Well, it's like, for me, what's more important, an afternoon nap or a hot meal? And I'm sorry, sleep will always, always win.
I can't get sleep like you can. But maybe it doesn't take a minute to put something in a microwave.
I've started doing that now. It's now the mic, because now we are in autumn. I did actually purchase a soup the other day. And I have started doing microwave soups in the green room, yes. It is that season.
Do they ever have hotel rooms with microwaves, or is that...
No, we've discussed this before and we said what a good idea it would be.
I think you're right. It would be a good idea. It would, but I suppose they want to discourage you from not using room service or something like that.
We've discussed this as well, Judith. I sometimes think I talk and you just zone out. But in the olden days when we stayed in hotels, they frowned upon people bringing food and booze
into
the hotels.
Yes.
And now it's actively encouraged. You go and they say, oh, yeah, you could get. We do room service, but you could order in a pizza. And they kind of push you into.
God,
using other
mad.
Things.
That is very surprising, isn't it?
It's very odd.
I wonder if there's a sort of travel kettle version of a travel microwave. I mean, that would be good, wouldn't it, for you?
Yeah, but...
You know where this is heading, don't you? You know where this is heading.
Well, I can't.
It's heading to a kettle snack. It's like heading to... What we're doing is heading to a pot noodle.
Where we are. If only pot noodles weren't on the banned list. No, fuck it. I don't care about if they're any good or not. But they've got lots of things in them that are not
additives.
Good for my mouth ulcer situation. So if I'm being susceptible to mouth ulcers, which I am at the moment, I can't do
I
so
bet
many
you could
things.
Find one. You see, I'm tempted to even to Google now organic pot noodles. Because I reckon
think that in some supermarkets, Itsu have a range of pot noodles that are in some supermarkets.
Right.
I have seen those.
Wow.
It's so much easier than it used to be because every motorway now has either a Waitrose or a Marks and Spencer's. I can't get myself a chicken fillet or a piece of salmon and sort of cook that over a kettle. But, you know, there are alternatives now. It's not that bad.
I think I'd be taking a camping fire. One way or another, I'd be getting hot meals. But one way or another,
you'd be setting off fire alarms all over the place. That's what you'd be doing. And also, as you know from the admittedly limited experience, what was the worst, daftest thing you ever did before you went on stage? Own up now to our listeners.
A big Sunday mistake. Roast.
Yes, there you
go. A Sunday roast. You did tell me. Right. Are you sure?
Are you sure? You're going to have a full Sunday roast? I am, you said. With gravy and Yorkshire puddings.
Roast potatoes.
And then when it got to showtime, could you move? You could barely move.
No, sluggish I was.
So what I have learned, I think I'm halfway through this tour. Shrewsbury is a very nice strolling town. If you want a town for strolling, for Shrewsbury. Mm. Yeah.
And strolling towns, let's face it, as we get a bit older, are an attractive phenomena, aren't they?
They really, really are. Yes. I would like our listeners to pitch in other towns that are as equal. I think you're very blessed because Oxford is also a good strolling town.
Yes, it is. And I'm also thinking about Stroud, which I went to for the first time recently, although it is quite hilly. I don't know whether to are you allowed to have hills in that strolling town?
Not for me, because I'm very lazy.
Not too many, probably. Lots of nice cafes and little individual shops, are there?
And the other one we like as well, where lots of lesbians live, and so that's another reason why we like it, and lots of haberdashery shops. Up in the north.
Oh, Hebden Bridge.
Yes.
Do you mean Hebden Bridge?
Yes. Good strolling town. The only thing I have noticed from strolling in towns is, and I don't know whether anybody else has noticed this, none of the big chains are bothering with shop windows these days. All very drab. There used to be such a thing as being a window dresser, and it seems to have completely disappeared.
Yeah, that is very true, isn't it? Well, I suppose they've gone with the department stores, really, haven't they? You know, I mean, they've gone.
But I'm talking about the big chains like H&M and even Primark. They just put things in the window. They don't make a display.
Which is, you know, for a strolling town, that is a disappointment, isn't it? Yeah, you're right.
But then again, you see, this is where I contradict myself. And I don't know how you feel about this, Judy. I mean, I say one thing, and then 3 seconds later, I just completely say the opposite. I feel I'm a bit fucking sick. Okay, I know we're running out of our swear quota for the day, but I am a bit fucking sick of the cult of Halloween.
Oh, me too. Oh, me too. So it's all over Sainsbury's at the moment. I don't get it. I disapprove of it. I actually disapprove of it. It's a strong word. Like you, I disapprove of it. I find, you know, trick or treat. What the fuck? You know, they have enough. Don't give children and loads more sweets. Stop it.
I do give them sweets, and I don't mind trick or treat. I don't mind if they're dressed up, but I want it kept to October the 31st and no more. It can't spread. I mean, people are decorating their houses. It's not even October. I mean, it's October now. But I'm not naming names, but there are certain influencers on the Instagrams, and they've already done big fucking ridiculous displays.
Really?
Yeah. And this season, apparently, the trendy pumpkin is a blue pumpkin. Now, I don't know whether they've been dyed or whether there is some natural phenomenon of a
phenomenon.
Just remember, I'm talking through eight mouth ulcers. Blue pumpkins are the thing. But I just, you know, if you're putting a display of pumpkins up around your doorway, if you live like that, they will have rotted by the 31st. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, you just burst their bubble, haven't you, eh?
Well, I hope so, yeah.
I hope so.
I just think, God in heaven. What a ridiculous nonsense.
It is, isn't it? It is. I don't care a shit about Halloween. I'm sorry, but I really don't care a shit. We're saying that, and you know what? Arlo and the twins, a few years' time, they'll be saying, can you help me dress up for Halloween?
Take us out. Yeah. Arlo's already got a hat that looks a bit like a pumpkin. He's got an orange beanie with a little green stalk.
We'll be doing a handbrake turn, won't we, I bet you will.
Yes, because it's Halloween. How lovely. Yeah, we are hypocrites. We're natural born hypocrites. We don't care. We're not apologising for it. It is our right. And the other thing I've learned about being on tour, Judith, is I need to have a hobby with me. So I have my tapestry.
As is your right.
As is my wont.
Yes.
And I have my art on my iPad, but I'm not having much time to do that because
it's good
sleeping.
Though, Jenny. I think honestly, I think you've really developed a style now. I'm quite envious.
No, I think what it is, the style is the iPad. I don't think it's my style.
Well, okay, but I think it's lending itself and pushing you into, or not pushing you into. It's good because I think you have got that style now, which okay, it's a bit iPad-esque, but I think you can transfer it. And yeah, I'm impressed. I'm not doing it, but I'm still all over the place. No, I think your art lately has been very, very, very. I mean, I always say it's very good, you know.
Yeah, I know. We have to encourage each other, otherwise, the two of us are both in tears.
Yeah, I've meant it a bit more lately, if I'm honest.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Been up to much though, which upsets me.
I have. I just tell you know the twins get ill, and then I got caught in something else, and the tomatoes need. Oh, I don't know. I do.
You have a very busy life, Judith.
It
you have a very busy
me.
Life. Yes, I
do.
I do. Yeah, I know. I know. My tour tapestry that I've got at the... Well, we're busy in different ways, Judith. There's a lot of my day that is so unbusy that you would be. Thrashing in the car,
I would
I think.
Actually, yes,
because I don't think you like being contained in a
no,
car.
No, oh,
not
I've
doing
got a terrible fidget. I'm a fidget.
Yeah, and you'd be stopping every sort of half an hour to stretch your legs and have a wee and all
would,
that kind of thing.
You'd hate it,
and try and find something hot with some greens. and I've just got very used to sitting in a car for 5 hours and just getting on with some tapestry and just you know getting on with it. And I barely stop for a wee. I have tour bladder, and it's very different to normal.
Well, we've
bladder.
Told you about that before. You've got to stop and empty your bladder more, haven't you? Have this discussion. You talk
you
about
think,
me, not listen to you.
Yeah.
Well,
do you think that's what's causing the mouth ulcers? Do you think?
Well,
that's,
okay, not could that. Be, it, but don't start. Don't if you start getting cystitis, then don't come to me.
That's you're absolutely yes. right about that. Yes, and I do agree, Judith. I do agree, and
thank
I have
you.
Stopped drinking Diet Coke on the whole.
Good.
Because I realised that was a cystitis
was a
trigger. Yeah. Now, talking of
yes.
triggers
yes.
and diets,
yes.
This leads us beautifully into a trip to a dietitian.
Oh, me seeing the dietitian, the
yes.
aforementioned dietitian.
Yes.
I know. I was quite excited about it because, you know, it's not about me just sort of feeling I'm too fat. It's quite, you know, quite a serious
No, you go in because you have a sliding hiatus hernia.
Well remembered. And
I take notes. I've got a little notebook.
Things is that on that your radar?
Wrong.
Is it on your
that
radar?
Things wrong with Judith. Things that are... They're columns. They're two columns. It's like, who's got the most things that are wrong with them? Currently, I'm winning, I feel.
Yes,
So you go to see the dietitian, and this is this... Okay, I'm going to ask you.
Right.
You know, you say it's not about being fat. But
no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. I mean, I don't like being as fat as I am.
You're not
really
fat.
Not. Well,
you're not
no,
fat.
No, okay. I'm not.
I won't
well,
have that.
Anyway, so the specialist said, really, I have got to lose weight. The bit, you know, or I'm heading for surgery. Basically, it was quite a sort of, you
what
know,
kind
listen
of surgery?
Up.
What do you mean surgery?
Oh, they have to get rid of the hernia by giving it doing a sort of.
Oh,
I
see.
You know,
I
so
see.
It is quite serious now. It's not me just. Faffing about the fact that I can't
okay.
get into
the how
trousers.
Is the hiatus hernia affecting your everyday life?
Well, I'm on that quite strong drug, you know, what's it called? Omestriplo.
Omresipol. Yeah, it's not, that's not strong. I'm on that.
Well, it depends on your, it depends on how many milligrams you're on.
Okay. Are you taking one or two a day?
I'm taking two.
Okay,
20. God, we are hypochondriacs, aren't we?
But some people will really be tuning in. Some people will have turned this up. Some people will have turned it down. Tune back in a bit. We'll be on Culture Corner in a bit, but, you know. Okay, right.
Bear with. Anyway,
okay, the dietitian. Right.
Yes. So, oh, my God. Well, first of all, let me just say, I reckon she was one of the thinnest people I've ever met, and she did keep calling me Judy, and I'm sorry, but...
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, but despite all that, she did give me a big talking to. She read the specialist notes, and she said, no, you really, really have... So she weighed me, obviously. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how
I don't want to know, because you know me, I don't really approve of weighing.
Yeah. Well, I know, but this is different now.
Medical.
Medical. I mean, it was shocking, and my BMI thing is also shocking. But she also said, look, you know, you're gonna develop sort of heart disease, because your mother died of heart disease, and your grandmother, and diabetes, and ditto, both of them got that. If you don't lose weight, you've got to lose weight around your waist. You've got to lose weight around your waist, and, you know, listen up, got to get on with it. So that is what.
But how do you specify losing weight around your waist? That's diet. That's exercise,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, I think I don't think you can really, but I think it's probably you know, that you've got to shift it off there, and until it comes off there, you're not really achieving it. So anyway, I'm on a sort of no carb diet, really. That's what she recommended with me, after a lot of conversation about my, you know, terrible sort of sugar cravings, and also, you know, my utter greed and focus on food and all of that. So that's what I'm trying to do. That is what I'm doing.
Was she sympathetic? Did she
she was great. Yeah, she was great. I mean, I forgave her for calling me Judy and being so skinny, which is quite something, really. And telling me to lose, you know, I've got to leave, well, over a stone I've got to lose. So there we go.
I think that you'll lose half a stone very, very easily, and then the rest will be quite tough.
It will be tough because I am a very greedy, you know, as you said on stage, I'm like a greedy Labrador. You could lead me with, you know, treats. You could.
I did not say you were a greedy Labrador. You have reinvented that. I said you were like a Labrador, that in so much that you needed exercise.
Oh, well,
and
yes.
You have rejigged that in your head, that I said you're a greedy Labrador. I never did.
Did you not? Well, no. I wouldn't mind if you did, because it's true. I am terribly greedy. I'm much greedier than virtually everybody I know. So anyway.
Yeah, but I think that's because you like fresh air and exercise. And I think you come in from a big walk and think, well, now I need a treat.
Yeah.
And all I've been doing is lying in bed most of the time, so I don't really deserve anything. Well done, Judith. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Well, breakfast is the problem. Because you can't have cereals, you can't have muesli, you can't have anything like that, you can't have toast. So there's a lot of eggs. I had an omelette, a very, very delicious omelette. I've got to say, a very delicious cheese and... slivers of cheese, chives, which I cut from the garden, and tomato omelette. Very lovely, very,
well, I think
lovely.
A good omelette, Judith, a good omelette goes a very long way. And if you can make yourself a good omelette, then I think that... God, I'm just trying to think what else. You can have bacon, can't you?
Yes.
You can't have it on toast.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So it's a bit rudderless, isn't it? The bacon just floats on the plate. It's sort of, it hasn't got anything to harness it to.
It's not the same. So I am struggling with that. But there you are. Got to do it.
Can you have, you can have smoked salmon. Can you have cracker biscuits for your breakfast?
No. No.
Not even Rye Vita?
No. I can't stop eating. This is the thing with me. I can't. If I have a Rye Vita, I'll put some butter on it and then have another Rye Vita. Because the thing with me is, and this might be a bit, I think, and she thinks, there's a connection between me eating carbs and wanting sugar. And the other day, I had some carbs, just, you know, because there wasn't really much choice. And I instantly wanted sugar. So I think she's on to something.
Okay, right. Well, good luck with that, Judith.
Thank you.
We'll keep an eye on that. Okay, we are on to Culture Corner.
I think we're on to Culture Corner. Now, can I start? Do you mind if I start?
Yes.
been watching this really interesting series on Netflix called How to Live to Be 100, Secrets of the Blue Zones. Have you heard about it?
No.
No? It's a National Geographic, so it's a beautiful series. And it's presented by a guy who's not sort of, you know, a kind of gerontologist or anything, but he's a kind of adventurer.
Oh, casual use of the word gerontologist.
Oh,
there,
did you like it? Did you like it?
Well done.
I think he's called Dan Dwetner or something. Anyway, he's American and rather nice. I quite fancy him, actually, is what I'm trying to say. And he's gone, you know, you know what blue zones are. They are these clusters of centenarians. So somebody worked out all these different places in the world where there's the highest density of centenarians. And Okinawa is the most famous one in Japan, where they don't eat very much, interestingly. That's their, you know, that's their thing. But he's found lots of other ones. And so each one looks at them and kind of, not the secrets exactly, but kind of the patterns of what they tend to do. And it's beautiful because it's a National Geographical series. You're tapping in, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find this Dan Bretner, because there's nobody called Dan Bretner.
Dan Bretner or something.
I'm just looking up. I'm just thinking, I want to see what you fancy about this bloke.
Oh, do you? He wears a handbag. You know, not a man bag exactly, a bit bigger than that, over his shoulder, and he rocks the denim. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I'm just looking at him. I can see what you mean. And his name is Bwetner. Yeah,
funny surname.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dan Bwetner, yeah. Okay, travels around the world to discover five unique communities where people live extraordinarily long and vibrant lives.
And vibrant lives, that's right, exactly. So that's the thing. You don't want to be sitting in old people's home. You want to be vibrant. Just really simple things, like there's this sort of cluster of villages in Sardinia. They're all on the top of hills. So, you know, these people...
Oxygen.
Yeah, they're up and down steps. They're up and down to church. They're up and down to see the family. Lots and lots of walking, lots of climbing steps. And then there's this wonderful island in a Greek island called Ikaria, which I now really want to go to, that's sort of very out of the way. And... you know, just a beautiful lifestyle, but they're all really busy and they're still kind of, you know, tending their farms. They're still shepherds. They're still, and, you know, big communities, lots of families close and everything. I mean, it's not going to be achievable, really. You know,
are you going to be a farmer, Judith? You're going to sort
of next time round. Yeah. I'm going to marry somebody an Icarian next time round. The only thing I would say is that the other thing that all these people have common is they eat quite weird food. They eat... You know,
it's a lot of oily fish. Is it a lot of oily fish? I mean, in Japan.
They just don't eat very much. And they eat a lot of tofu. Bought some tofu, by the way, the other day.
Oh, dear.
It's not bad. But several of the communities eat sorts of very strange, a lot of vegetables, not very much meat or fish, loads and loads of vegetables, and kind of weird bits of bread and sort of oatmeal and things like that. But they are living a long time, and they all look busy. They all look really busy, I think. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Busy.
Okay, right.
But quite an interesting diversity.
Okay, I don't know whether I will watch that. I have to admit, I'm just not sure. But okay, he looks attractive and charming.
He is.
And I can imagine if it's a National Geographic series, then it will be beautifully shot. And I will
enjoy
it.
I think you should give it a go.
I've got so much to catch up on, though, Judith. I mean, because I'm working so much at night, though I do have some days off this week and I'm grateful for them because I have things to catch up on.
What are you catching up on?
I did watch something really, really good last night. And it's called Partygate on BBC.
Oh, okay.
Boris's number 10, Shabeen, basically.
Yes, yes.
And the cast includes some of the W1A mob, which is excellent because you can, you know that dark posh one that, the one that did that.
Oh, yes,
the
I do.
He's in it. He's sort of, you know, in the sort of natural progression of working for the BBC and then going to Parliament.
Well, yeah.
And working at number 10.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a little bit unlikely in so much that it seems that all the team are under 35. But, you know, there just seemed to be all the people that were at these parties seemed to be very young. And I'm not sure that was the case. But it's very telling and it's a real stark reminder of what we went through, the madness of what we all went through.
Yeah, I know.
How we obeyed and how they didn't. I mean, it really is required viewing. It's very funny as well. It's very good. It's done with that really good... It managed to be flippant whilst making a real point.
who plays Dominic Cummings?
Oh, nobody I know. And I mean, they mixed it up with some real life stuff. And there was, you know, some
tragic
stories from real people, you know, who lost children and lost mothers and lost family members. And you know, the reminders of what those funerals were like and how nobody was allowed to say goodbye. And there was a teenage girl who died in Dulwich, in Herne Hill, round the corner from me, whose friends weren't allowed to come and say goodbye to her. And it just...
They intercut that, did they? That's not messing about.
And then you sort of see this sort of ridiculous bacchanalian behaviour at number 10. And then the cleaners having to come in the next day and finding little packets of white powder and just smash bottles and piles of puke everywhere. I mean,
But I assume it's based on... I mean, I hope they have...
It's based on the Sue Gray report.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Golly.
You know, including you know, evidence of vomit and all that, this sort of thing. I mean, you know, it's just outrageous.
Blimey. Mm. Yes, well, that sounds like a... Yeah, that sounds like a good one.
What else have you been watching on the box?
I watched last night Portrait Artist of the Decade.
So I forgot it!
Oh, it's so good. So good. Oh. Judi Dench. Judi Dench was the sitter, if that's the right word.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Judi Dench, don't
you? Yeah, she's great. And
actually, it was really interesting to watch her. She's a bit of a fidget, you know, because she was sort of so deep in thought a lot of the time. I wanted to watch her as much as I wanted to watch them painting her. But yeah, these astonishing portraits. Now, obviously, full-time professional, portrait artists. Oh, it was good. It's good.
They might have that on YouTube. I'm going to have to catch up on that because, yes. I mean, because I follow Joan Bakewell on Twitter and she reminded me.
Oh, do you?
Me.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and she doesn't tweet very often, but she reminded her followers of this programme coming and I sort of commented and thought, great, and reposted it and then forgot myself because I forgot that yesterday was a Wednesday. I'm all out of kilter this week, but there we go. Okay, so anything else that you'd recommend on the telly?
Boiling Point, which is the sequel to the movie with Stephen Graham, about a kitchen, about this frantic kitchen.
Yeah.
We've watched two. I mean, it is really on the edge of the seat stuff because you sort of think, oh, something ghastly is about to happen like the whole time, and it does.
I didn't like it.
It's quite dark. You didn't like it?
No, I thought there was too much semaphoring with the script. I started watching it last night on your recommendation, and just after 5 minutes, I just thought, no, this writing is really far too much on the nose. It's not something enough.
Did you?
I can be quite a bitch sometimes. I can be quite difficult. I really love Stephen Graham and I think some of the cast were excellent, but I. Okay, any cinema?
Yes, I went to see, very unusual for me, a very, very long performance. Sort of streamed, you know, one of those theatre things that have been streamed via the Curzon Cinemas, because James Norton was starring in it. And obviously it got fantastic reviews in the West End and it has closed and it's called A Little Life. It's based on the Hanya Yana Gihara book. But it's 3 hours 40 long.
It's too long.
Well, it is long, but I have to say, there's only one spell when I thought, okay, well, you know, I might look at my watch. It was only once, which is impressive, in 3 hours 40. And it was beautifully staged and very fast, given that sort of, it was very one theme, you know. It was about this sort of, you know, bloke who obviously had suffered terrible child abuse and was self-harming. It was terribly dark. I mean, dark isn't the word, really, but it is kind of fantastic.
During the West End production, people had to go and sit outside in the foyer and have their heads between their knees.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because it was very, very, very realistic. An awful lot of blood, and but very, very cleverly done. James Norton was amazing.
We love him. We love him.
But there was one. Do you know there was one line that made me think of you? And there was a father talks about losing his son, right? And he says that when you're, you know, parental love is like nothing else, because you wake up every day and you think, well, how are they today?
Yeah.
How are they today? And that, I think, for you and I is true, and probably for everybody. And he said, if you do lose a child, you know, is kind of your worst fear. And when it happens, as much as, of course, you wouldn't like it to happen, you have, now there is nothing to be afraid of. And he admitted, and I thought this was really interesting, oh God, I don't know whether I want to say this even, but that there would be a bit of sort of relief in that.
That you've gone through the worst thing that could ever happen to you.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes. I suppose I can see the concept behind that. I mean, you wouldn't want to live through it for a second.
No, of course you wouldn't.
But you certainly wouldn't be scared of dying, would you?
No, you wouldn't. No,
you wouldn't actually care.
No,
it would just sort of take a lot of the fear away,
It was profound on so many levels, really.
Right, now then, we shall move on to books.
Yes.
Where are you on your books?
I've just completed last night, the Rose Tremaine that you recommended.
Did you like it?
I did like it very much. I mean, it's an unusual Rose Tremaine, because normally, I mean, you know, it's a story in which not very much happens. And sometimes
it's a slice of life.
Yeah, it is. And I didn't see the end coming. I'm not going to say what the end was, but I didn't see that coming.
I saw it. Not until quite late. I saw it the chapter before it happened.
Gosh, I
did guess that, because it was just such a of its time. It was so of its time that I thought, I know I've got that.
Yeah. Interesting. No, I didn't see that coming. And although she was, the main character was a bit older than us, and therefore not quite going through the same culturally, it wasn't far off. And so, yes, it was a slice of life that I could relate to as well.
I found it fascinating. I liked it more than you. I know I did, but
yeah,
I don't know why. It really tickled me. I really liked it. On the other hand, I'm finding Hislop's The Island too polite for my tastes.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. I refuse about that last week. Yes, I think perhaps we do have slightly different tastes.
Yeah, we do. We're allowed. Yeah. And that's, you know, this is why we do Culture Corner, so that we can offer a gamut.
A gamut,
Judith. you know, it's a sort of, we can only lead our horses to water. We cannot make them drink.
Indeed.
And whatever they drink, they don't necessarily have to like.
Ooh, get you with your metaphor.
Yeah.
Anyway. So will you finish it, do you think, or not?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Right, okay.
But I am still loving. It is a huge book, Paul Murray's The Bee Sting, and it's taken Jeff and I forever because I'm away so often and I'm waiting till I'm home to listen to it with him.
How many hours is it?
I think it's about 19 hours.
What?!
Yeah, it's a massive book for the money. You know, like on Audible, when you have your credits every month.
Yeah.
And you don't pay any more for a book that's like three times longer than something else.
Blimey.
Yeah. And weirdly, I've had some bad nights in hotels recently. I've had between 2:30 and 4:30 awake on several occasions, not like me. And I found podcasts really good for you know, middle of the night things.
Yes.
Just little chunks of podcasts. Put the timer on for 15 minutes, something like that. Grace Dent's got a new series of comfort eating.
Oh, lovely. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Who do you listen to?
Nadia, you know, the baker. The baker. Very interesting.
Yes.
Really, really interesting. Not just about food, about her upbringing, about all sorts of cultural things. It's just really...
Really,
Grace is very good at interviewing people and letting them have their head. So that's a good tip.
Yes, it's a good tip.
Okay, now, emails, Judith. You have been inundated.
Oh, yes. So many wonderful emails about Ellen and Aaron splitting up. I cannot tell you. Thank you so much, gang. Just, you know, really, really moving, and thank you. And I've passed them all on to Ellen, and she's very moved as well. And, you know, some people emailed with almost like mirror image examples
of what had happened.
Because
I read them, and I found them comforting, because, and I tell you one phrase that stood out to me. The phrase that stood out to me from one of the listeners who wrote to you was the phrase, dodged a bullet.
Dodged a bullet. I know. Genuinely helpful and loving. Thank you very much. I want to read one out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dear Judith, I needed to write this email as you've been on my mind since listening to this week's podcast. How you explain the very sad news relating to Ellen with such composure and dignity. For sure it sounds like Ellen is surrounded by amazing family and friends, but let her know she also has the love of the owls. And 61 and 7 months. Isn't that lovely?
It's really nice. And it's, this sort of, the owl love, affection and friendship is actually really important to, not just to us two, but to the girls. Because Phoebe went for a COVID jab recently. And the nurse doing her, because she's has asthma, so she got an early one. And the nurse doing her said, "Oh, just tell your mother I'm an owl."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that lovely?
Isn't it lovely? It really is lovely. And it's sort of, I think, for, you know, it's just really nice when you have this network of people who, you know, crop up here and there and just are really incredibly supportive.
I know, but we didn't expect it, did we? I mean,
no. We've done well there. We've done well. We could do with a bit more sponsorship, but, you know. It'll come. Just a catch up on last week to finish off with. Hello, Jenny and Judith. Leonard Sachs with Gavel was the awful man who compared the good old days. At the very mention of Leeds City Varieties, I was transported back to memories of me eye rolling while my mum and dad were thoroughly enjoying themselves singing along to Adele Lee, sitting on a big flowery swing, performing to her beau who was up in the gallery. God, occasional leap was to be had when Beryl Reid. In drag did Burlington Bertie.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm Burlington Bertie. I rise at 10:30. There was a wine bar in St. Anne's called Burlington Bertie. It was great. Anyway, that's from Jenny. She's 72 and a half. Thank you to all our listeners. Thank you to everyone who has emailed in. Judith, can you just remind everybody of the email
very
address?
Very good. Yes, I can. Olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
That's it. We haven't said that
for
a while.
Olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
That's it. Okay. Yes. Thank you to you, Judith. Thank you to you, Daisy. And we will speak again next week. Courage! Bye!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.